The AI Today podcast, produced by Cognilytica, cuts through the hype and noise to identify what is really happening now in the world of artificial intelligence. Learn about emerging AI trends, technologies, and use cases from Cognilytica analysts and guest experts.
Hello and welcome to the AI Today podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Mulch.
And I'm your host, Ron Schmelzer. And wow, we have so much great content queued up for you. I'm trying not to reveal so much, but we have recorded so many episodes coming up that dive deep into all these areas of AI best practices. And of course, we're going to continue with our Trustworthy AI series, maybe even some back to our glossary series. We'll start defining things. But of course, we've also had so many interviews. We have a lot of interviews queued up in part because we were fortunate enough to do a bunch of interviews for South by Southwest, the big show. And there's, of course, AI is the topic of every conversation. And AI Today was invited to come and podcast and interview folks who are there. And we made a great showing for those of you that follow us on social media. We were part of so many conversations, and we were fortunate enough to bring those conversations here to AI Today. So we recorded some great ones. I just wanted to say, stay tuned for that, as you can hear us, as to what is happening with AI Today. But of course, we also want to share some thought leadership with you, because many of you are still looking to make these AI projects work, and you don't want to hear fantastic visions of the future. You want to hear about what's happening with AI today. And of course, that is what we do here on this podcast.
Yes, it is. And actually, we love to go to conferences and have conversations with people because it really helps us to understand where everybody is on their journey. You know, we talk a lot to our clients and our community, but it's nice to broaden it out and really get an understanding of where everybody is on their AI journey. And you know, some people are still very early on and others are farther along, but a lot of people are fairly new on their journey, especially their organizations. So when it comes to talking about artificial intelligence, a common question that we get asked is, who should the AI team be made up of? And, you know, who at my organization is going to be responsible for this? And we thought that it was a great topic for the podcast today, because this has been a theme that's regularly been coming up in conversations. And so we wanted to share our views on this. So the AI team, you know, we talk about AI. I mean, we've been doing this podcast now for a long time, since 2017. A lot has changed with artificial intelligence since 2017. I mean, it feels like, you know, a lifetime ago when it comes to artificial intelligence. But even just in the past 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, so much has changed. So we say not that long ago by AI standards is maybe 2 years, which feels like I said an eternity. The world of AI users and AI developers and engineers really were very different. So before, we had these highly paid, highly skilled, hard to find talent, you know, these unicorns that people were trying to look for. A few years ago, data scientists was the sexiest job of the 21st century. They were in such high demand. People couldn't hire them fast enough or train them fast enough. So really, to do anything with AI, you needed this highly skilled data scientist, machine learning engineers, data engineers, and these other well-paid and hard-to-find individuals. They're hard to find because you can't just go to a few week code academy or read some things online and become a data scientist or become a machine learning engineer. It took a lot of time to get those skills. But now, with generative AI, really anybody can generate stuff with AI. And generative AI has really, truly shifted the landscape now of who is able to create these AI outputs at just the speed and the skill set that's needed.
Yeah. And it's created a really interesting effect, if you want to think about it, because if you ask, say, you polled your, say, team, your organization, and said, how many people here are doing anything with AI? Just that basic question, right? 2 years ago, it would have been a very small part of the organization who would have responded saying, I'm doing something with AI. And most likely it would have been the data scientists, the machine learning engineers, and maybe a few people casually, just a few people doing stuff. But now, if you randomly poll your organization and you ask that same question, who here is doing something with AI? It might actually be the majority of your company. Of course, what they're thinking about is ChatGPT and the image generation tools and, you know, Google Gemini and all these sorts of things, and maybe even AI things that are built into their existing tools. Maybe they have some photo editing app that's got some AI thing. Everybody now thinks, well, I shouldn't say everybody, almost everybody thinks they're doing something now with AI. And this has sort of brought this idea, this rise of what's called the AI citizen developer, because if they feel like they are empowered to build stuff with AI using basically tools that don't require any code, that you can type something in your own language, English or whatever it is, you know, and create something, you'll feel like you are part of the AI team in some way, if you want to think about it that way. And I think that may be throwing some organizations for a loop. And I think the way that we like to think about it is that a few decades ago, the spreadsheet, when it came out, was really revolutionary. Before the spreadsheet, anybody who wanted to do any sort of analysis at all, even basic stuff like tell me what the sales were for the last year and show me a chart by month. Imagine what that was like before having a spreadsheet. You had to go in there and find the numbers and create a chart and maybe draw it by hand. Who knows? You know, tabulate it, maybe make a mathematical error. Who knows what, right? And you caused some problems. And it took time, and you had to know how to create something that was visually intuitive, et cetera, et cetera. But the spreadsheet basically democratized what we call casual quantitative analysis. Anybody could do anything casually with numbers that they want to, or not numbers, or make stuff up, whatever they want to do, magic of Excel. And while there are some people who may be like really good at Excel, you know, power Excel users, Excel is pretty much available to anybody who wants to use it, or something similar. I shouldn't say Excel, you know, any spreadsheet tool, numbers, et cetera, Google Sheets, you know, but Excel is what kind of put it into everybody's hands, just like ChatGPT is putting the LLM into everybody's hands, right? So what generative AI is doing is doing the same thing. It's democratizing this casual NLP stuff, generating text, processing text, understanding it, text information content, also generating images, and even doing basic analysis tasks like count the number of, you know, whatever's in this image or something like that. So that is what people have right now. Like, it's sort of like we're in this spreadsheet era. People have discovered the spreadsheet of AI, and people are playing with it, and it is truly powerful. And you can't tell people not to play with it. It would be like telling people don't play with the spreadsheet. It's just so amazing and so powerful. And Excel, as they say, still drives so many applications today. So many things are based on top of it. I would not be surprised if decades from now, things are still based on top of these generative AI tools. But I think sort of course, we know that person who's good at Excel doesn't mean that they're a programmer. You know, a person who's like, I'm great at Excel spreadsheets. It's like, well, maybe the really high power Excel users are getting kind of close to programming with macros and things like that, but they wouldn't consider themselves programmers. And in such the same way, these generative AI users, they may think of themselves as doing stuff with AI, but they wouldn't think of themselves as, say, an actual, you know, deep AI developer. You can't say, okay, now go ahead, build me a model to do this, or, you know, retrain this or do that. They don't have those skills, and they don't need to have those skills, right? So I think the thing about the citizen developer is that some of the patterns of AI, especially ones with, say, narrow scope, we're not trying to solve really huge problems, and ones that we can do quickly, like rapid iteration cycles, do it in like a couple of minutes and hours and days, we can do that. Like, citizen AI developers can do those things, which is actually a bit of a change because, as I said, 2 years ago, if I said, hey, I just need a simple thing to do a text sentiment analysis, right? That was, you know, still then a bit of a thing to do. But now if I said, hey, random person who knows how to use a GPT or LLM, I'm going to give you a paragraph of text. Tell me if the sentiment is positive or negative. They're just going to take that text, put it right to right prompt, put that into an LLM, and they will get a response, and it'll probably be as good as whatever the data scientist could do, right? So there are many patterns of AI that can be solved and addressed by these citizen AI developers. So yeah, those citizen AI developers, they are on your AI team because they can do those things. However, not every project has that basic AI need and is an NLP problem that is appropriate for that. So we still need some specialists, right?
Exactly. And, you know, just like how Ron breaks up with the spreadsheets, well, yes, a lot more people were empowered to be able to use and work with spreadsheets now, but that didn't take away the need for developers because you need them for other things. Same thing with AI. AI specialists are still needed because the vast majority of the seven patterns of AI that, you know, they can't be addressed with simple generative AI applications, and they really do require that sophisticated, specialized teams and roles. You know, we think about autonomous vehicles, for example. I can't use large language models to make my vehicle move from point A to point B. So these traditional teams for AI project development are, you know, consist of data scientists, machine learning engineers, data engineers, operationalization teams as well. So when you're actually putting your AI into the real world, we need to be able to have teams that can go ahead and actually do that, you know, whatever model it is that you've built, not just that output that you have, say that you, you know, used generative AI to create art. So when we think about this and we say, okay, but we still need AI specialists, then this means that the scope of the team is growing because now we can have these, you know, generalists and these specialists. So when we do that, AI project management is still incredibly important. It was before. You know, we are big advocates of doing AI right, following best practices, methodologies. In particular, we're big advocates of CPM AI, the cognitive project management for AI methodology, because you need that step-by-step approach. And also, when we're talking about now scoping of the teams, trustworthy AI teams are going to become more important than ever. There's a growing, you know, need for groups around responsible for privacy, compliance, risk, ethics, governance, and even aspects of intellectual property licensing and management. Actually, it was interesting when we were at the conference. We were talking to different people and we were talking about the EU AI Act and how that's, you know, really bringing to the forefront. Now we're going to have regulation around artificial intelligence and what that means from an implementation standpoint and how you're actually going to need now maybe even more people on your team because of that. So this modern AI team is much broader and more complex than the previous teams that we've seen that were maybe more researchy based than what they are now. So AI really has broadened to be much more all-encompassing, which means that AI, guess what, is a team effort and everyone at your organization now is on your AI team. And this is really important to understand, where maybe in the past it had been separated and siloed out, but now it's not. And it is important to understand everyone is on your AI team.
Yeah, exactly. We've actually started to see that. We've been getting inbound inquiries from organizations who are interested in rolling out AI training, and not just to one or two people, but like literally to the whole organization.
Yeah, the entire, which is honestly great. You know, it's good to say, okay, wow, you understand that literally everyone at your organization needs to be on the same page.
Right. And it's not just because you want them to be familiar with it from like a conceptual perspective. I think there's the realization, as we just started in this whole podcast, that people are going to be generating stuff with AI, maybe whether you want them to or not. So let's sort of, you know, get ahead of this, right? It would be like everybody's discovered spreadsheets, and the next thing you know, you go to a meeting and people have like 500 spreadsheets, and the thing that you had maybe in a couple documents now is like, oh, I built 25 spreadsheets for this. And you're like, okay, this is a little out of control now. You know, how am I going to manage my company on a million spreadsheets? I think it's very similar. Like, oh my goodness, this person generated this AI slide deck, and this person did this thing with you know, some text, or they put the meeting notes into this, and they thought it was cool and it was available, and they did it. But hey, you know, maybe you should get ahead of that, because that may or may not be good for your organization. So one of the things that we see here in terms of AI as a team sport and everybody's on the AI team is that, you know, we still have the needs to handle some of the core aspects. It still comes down to data. It doesn't matter whether it's somebody doing Gen AI in their desktop or a data scientist and a machine learning engineering team building a custom model. Data is still the core of it. If you put bad stuff in a prompt or bad stuff in a model, it's going to come out bad. So data engineering is still critical to the team. And I think, you know, making data engineering more accessible, you know, that doesn't mean everybody needs to be a data engineer, but making it easier to control the life cycle, if you will, of data, whether it's data access, data security, data management, data creation, safeguarding of data, that needs to be much more ubiquitous, much more sort of all-encompassing. For whatever reason, people don't like talking about things like data governance. It seems boring, I guess. But it's really very practical. It's like, how do I get access to the data? How should it be shared? How should it be protected? What happens if I create new stuff? Where should it go? Should I have copies of stuff? You know, these are like, this is like the bread and butter, if you will, of data governance. And I think it's starting to get more respect, which is great. You know, because people understand the importance of that. And of course, the second aspect of this is that even if we are building our own models or using somebody else's models, the data, the infrastructure teams are now becoming more important, especially if we're embedding them. We have seen this come to haunt people or bite people, if you will, when they've depended on, say, a third-party model. Let's say they're using OpenAI and they've embedded it in something and OpenAI solution's down. It's not available or it's providing very different results. That may take down your system. So if you're depending on it, you're like, oh, I didn't even realize this. I was just using this OpenAI thing. It's like, yeah, but you connected it to the website chatbot. Now the website's down. So now, as I said, AI is a team sport. Everybody's on the team. We need to start being aware of all these different things. You know, are things local? Are things in the cloud? You know, we need to make sure that we have models, regardless of whether they came from the organization or from someone else, they need to continue to operate, whether they're ours or someone else's. And I think people are starting to become more aware of it. And we haven't even talked about the cybersecurity issues because there are plenty, you know, in terms of putting data into other people's models, using other models, vulnerability in models that might not be yours, et cetera, et cetera. And so this is still incredibly important and part of this all team effort.
Exactly. So if we are saying, you know, everybody is on the AI team, this really is, you know, something that you need to think about conceptually. So that means that AI project managers and facilitators, you know, these soft skills too, are really still key and very important and really should not be overlooked. Soft skills are incredibly important. So we talk a lot about this three-legged stool where we talk about technology, people, and process. And technology is only one part of that stool, but you need all three to be stable. And people and process really are important and very critical. So many projects fail because people just try and throw more technology at the problem. And so we say, don't throw technology, good or bad, at, you know, bad problems. Really kind of look at it from this people and process standpoint and kind of fix maybe what's broken and look to see how you can enhance and improve this rather than just continue to throw technology, which quite frankly is the easiest thing to do, but doesn't actually solve your problems. And this is why this is a common theme that we see over and over again. There's still way too many solutions in search of problems rather than identifying your problem and coming up with a solution for that problem. People see something, they see a tool, they see this new shiny thing, and they go, oh, we want this. Okay, that's my solution. I'm going to just kind of jam it into my organization and see what problems it can fix. We always say with CPM AI, you start with business understanding. What problem are you actually trying to solve? Don't do AI for AI's sake. Don't really use technology in general for that. And so that's still a really good fundamental mindset to have here. Also, AI project managers and facilitators of all sorts are really working to speed up AI projects. So we want to keep them focused on these big problems that can be solved with small iterations and continuous success. If you listen to our podcast, you know we always say think big, start small, and iterate often. We've actually had a few podcasts that kind of dig deeper into what that even means, and I'll make sure to link to that in the show notes. But you want to make sure that you have, you know, make sure your problem actually is big enough. We talked about, you know, that scoping issue, and make sure you actually have a problem that's big enough to be worth solving. And then start small, have these small iterations, and continue to iterate over time for success. So your AI teams might be growing because we just said, okay, well, everybody at your organization is on your AI team, but that doesn't mean that your organization needs to hire tons of people. And this is also important to understand because most of the team players really do already exist at your organization. You have a lot of talent. You have a lot of great people. You have, you know, people that know your organization, know your industry. They just need some training and some coordination, maybe some guidance. So if we continue to take this mindset that everybody is on the AI team, and it really is a good mindset to have, that AI is core to your organization, so don't separate it out. We've also had a podcast on, we've had some articles that we've written all the way back in like 2018 on this subject about a chief AI officer. Do you need it? What's the role? What does it mean? And we say, no, you don't need a chief AI officer. Why break it out? If everybody at your organization is on the AI team, that means that this role, this chief AI officer, is going to be managing everybody or managing nobody. And based on the, you know, the way we've seen things happen in the past, it's probably going to be the latter, because if everybody's on the team, it's just hard. So the more everyone really does get involved, gets leveled up, the more that your organization is going to win, because you know, you're going to take these below average people and instantly make them average. And so what does that mean for your organization, how you've just leveled up a lot of people?
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation about leveling up in AI. And I think one of the interesting sort of insights, like I sort of have this like mental picture in my model, like imagine this was sort of like the 1970s, perhaps. And then you took like the 1970s employees who might have been good or not bad. I don't really know what the average quality was. But then like, let's just say you transported them into the future and you put them into the 1990s, right? When desktop computers. And they're just looking at this like, oh my God, I don't know what any of this stuff is. It's like, don't worry about it. All I got to do is teach you how to use a computer, how to use word processing, how to maybe use email, stuff like that. And then you can, now you can participate in sort of the modern organization, the modern enterprise, right? I think of it the same way. It's like, we have these people in the workforce. I'm like sort of transporting them into the future, but the future is kind of like now. It's AI. I'd be like, okay, everybody, you need to be in the modern organization. AI is part of the modern organization. Just like if I was transporting you and you need to learn how to use computers and word processors and email, all sorts of stuff, we're going to teach you how to do these things with AI. And therefore you could be part of the modern organization. I think that was one of our big takeaways as well from South by Southwest. This conference was this conversation about the future of work, which actually AI Today and Cognitive was core to this conversation we had. And the biggest thing we realized is that it's not a matter of if and when AI. The question is how AI, and the realization that it will impact every single role, and that organizations who don't embrace the use of AI, even for menial tasks and things like that, will find themselves, just like the 1970s organization, rapidly becoming obsolete. It doesn't matter what the industry is. You could have been a print shop. You could have been a laundromat. You could have been anything. You know, maybe some industries can afford to hold on to the past a little bit more. But I think for all of you who are listening to us in organizations that are moving towards digital transformation, AI is here. So I think it's sort of a really nice way of summing it up that, you know, AI, in terms of who's on the AI team, we all are on this AI team. Everyone's on the AI team. And we may have some specialists who do some specialist things, but I think that, you know, kind of given where we are and that AI has crossed the chasm, see, I'm connecting all of our podcasts together here.
Yeah, we'll link to all of them in the show notes.
I think that was the biggest realization, especially for our project managers who are thinking about who are on these teams.
Exactly. So we've just talked a lot and about this topic. We'd love to get your feedback on it. Please reach out to us. You can message us on LinkedIn and connect with us as well. I know that many of our listeners do, and we always love to hear from you. Really have these engaging conversations and helps guide us with additional topics for future podcasts. Also, you can go to Cognilytica.com or you can email us at team@cognilytica.com to reach out those ways as well. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to the AI Today podcast. We mentioned we have a lot of amazing interviews coming up. We also are going to be sharing more thought leadership around different topics that we have lined up. So definitely make sure to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And I'll link to those podcasts that we had referenced in the show notes. So you can go back and either take a listen if you've already listened. And if you haven't, then I encourage you to check them out. Like this episode and want to hear more? With hundreds of episodes and over 3 million downloads, check out more AI Today podcasts at aitoday.live. Make sure to subscribe to AI Today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, or your favorite podcast platform. Want to dive deeper and get resources to drive your AI efforts further? We've put together a carefully curated collection of resources and tools handcrafted for you, our listeners, to expand your knowledge, dive deeper into the world of AI, and provide you with the essential resources you need. Check it out at aitoday.live/list. This sound recording and its contents are copyright by Cognilytica, all rights reserved. Music by Matsu Gravas. As always, thanks for listening to AI Today, and we'll catch you at the next podcast.